I thank God for all who have led us in worship today, and it's good to be worshiping with you online and worshiping with you here in the sanctuary. We're in a sermon series called Holistic Missions, in which we're looking at various dimensions of the mission that God has given us as Christians. And today, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of my sermon is Telling the Next Generation. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Christian mission calls us to the ends of the earth and to the corners of our own home. One of the first places we share the faith is in our family. Bible scholar Clinton McCann Jr. writes, Psalm 78 invites us to share the good news, and it reminds us that our own children are an essential place to start. Indeed, verse 4 of this wonderful psalm says, we will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. Sharing the faith within the family is a point of emphasis in the Old Testament. The most famous passage in ancient Judaism, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, begins with the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. It then goes on to say, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children when you are at home and when you are away. This passage was to be recited every day in ancient Judaism. It served as a constant reminder to teach children the word of God and the way of faith. Children among the ancient Israelites, therefore, must have heard many stories of God's goodness from their parents, their grandparents, and their great grandparents, such as the stories recounted in the remainder of Psalm 78. I imagine a grandmother saying to her 5-year-old grandchild at bedtime, Pharaoh enslaved our people for years, but God divided the Red Sea and set us free. I imagine a father saying to his 10-year-old as they work the fields together, my great-grandfather used to talk about how God gave our people manna from heaven, bread to eat, to keep them going through their journey in the wilderness. I imagine a mother saying to her 13-year-old, "Our ancestors sinned, and they grumbled, and they were not faithful to God, yet God was compassionate and forgave us." It reminds me of my own upbringing, because my mother taught me John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." She taught me Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." She taught me Psalm 118, 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." She shared the faith with me. My dad did too. I remember him directing the church choir at our congregation alongside my mother. And I remember him singing the Lord's Prayer as a solo with such conviction and such skill that it brought worshipers to tears. I remember, too, one evening when I was in high school, my dad and I were sitting in the living room together, and he said to me, "The most amazing thing about the cross is that Jesus had legions of angels at his command, and he could have come down, but he didn't." That comment has stuck with me. My grandparents shared the faith with me, too. My paternal grandfather, Richard C. Schoonmaker, used to tell me about the Quaker meetings he attended with his family when he was young. He served as an elder at his Presbyterian church for many years. My maternal grandmother, Betty Graham, was a Christian woman, and one day she wrote on a sheet of paper, "Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last." She gave me that sheet of paper, and I still have it, folded up in my wallet. I keep it because it reminds me of her faith and her handwriting. Her husband, my maternal grandfather, Alvin Graham, used to read his Bible and pray on his knees virtually every night by the sofa before he went to bed. I remember him doing that beneath the lamplight, and it really made an impression on me as a young person. He said to me a couple of times when I was growing up, "Noel, the most important decision you will ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." His mom, my great-grandmother, Lillian Mears Graham, was a devout Christian woman living in Florence, South Carolina, in the early 1900s. And she wrote poems about her faith, which have been published in a small booklet. I treasure the copy that sits on the shelf in my church office. In that book, she dedicated it to her parents, my great-great-grandparents. And she wrote this on the dedication page: "When I was a child, my parents sometimes went to the little country church to pray for rain. The thing that impressed me most was the fact that after praying in the morning, they went out to look for thunderclouds in the afternoon. They really believed that God had heard their prayers and that he would send the rain, and he did. A spark of faith in God was instilled in my childish mind that has grown through the years, and nothing can erase it." They gave their children a heritage far more precious than silver and gold: faith in a living God. When I think about my great-great-grandparents back in the 1800s going to a country church to pray in the morning and looking with faith for thunderclouds in the afternoon, I thank God for the long heritage of Christian faith in which I stand that has brought me this morning to this very pulpit. Many of us here at Second Baptist Church have a long familial line of Christian faith. You may be thinking right now of parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents who have influenced you in the way of Christ. Last Sunday morning, Tate and Jack Moore came forward in the well to join the church and present themselves for baptism. Their parents, grandmother, and great-grandmother were all there to see it and worship and celebrate with them. Four generations of family, four generations of faith. Last Sunday afternoon, I went to visit a senior member of our church. And as we talked together, he told me that when he was young, his mother used to tell him about Jesus every morning after breakfast. It reminded me of the early church leader and protege of the Apostle Paul, Timothy, who evidently learned the faith from his mother and his grandmother. The second letter to Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 5, says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." Not every Christian, of course, has a heritage of faith in their family line. Someone listening right now might be the only person in your family unit who professes and practices faith in Jesus Christ. But we are all part of the spiritual family of the church, which has passed the faith down to us through the generations and across the centuries. All believers are part of what the Apostle Paul calls the family of faith. Sharing the faith with the next generation involves not only our family at home, but also our family here at church. Bible scholar James Luther Mays notes that in Psalm 78, the speaker views the people of God as a family whose identity and ethos is maintained as parents tell their children how they came to be the people of the Lord. Indeed, from the vantage point of modern-day Christianity, verse 6 of this wonderful psalm calls the church to tell young people about Christ, so that a generation yet unborn may tell their children to hope in God. The purview of our mission, then, extends beyond the here and now to generations yet to be born. The faith that stretches centuries into the past is intended to stretch generations into the future. We are to transmit an old faith to young people, that they, in turn, might pass it on to their children and grandchildren and generations to come, so that the faith might be actualized in a new way, in a new context, for a new time, again and again and again. Of course, it will be up to our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren whether they carry the faith forward. We can tell children about the faith, but we cannot force it upon them. It is up to them to embrace the faith personally as their own, and in turn to tell the generation that follows them. Faith is not passed biologically like a gene. Faith is passed evangelistically like a word. It can be accepted or not. It can be embraced or not. This is why the Christian faith is always one generation away from extinction. We are not responsible for whether the next generation chooses faith. We are responsible to tell them of the goodness of God, the gospel of Christ, the content of Holy Scripture, and the way of faith, hope, and love, and then set them free to follow in the way God leads them. I thank God for the remarkable commitment our church has shown to telling the next generation about Christ. Our amazing children's ministry building was built on financial sacrifices that people made in order to raise the next generation in the faith. I thank God for our outstanding Creative Learning Center and our excellent children's and student ministries, including the many lay leaders that impart Christian knowledge, teach Bible content, and share Christian love with our young people. I am grateful also for the new Legacy Fellowship Initiative, which is being launched today in order to encourage church members to include Second Baptist Church in our estate plans. Our commitment to making generous legacy gifts can help our church pass the heritage of faith to the next generation and to generations thereafter. Everyone who includes our church in their estate plans is contributing to the ministries and missions of Second Baptist Church in 2030 and 2040 and 2050 and beyond. A church that invests in telling the next generation about the goodness of God makes ripples in the water that wash up on the shoreline of years to come. Back in 2010, when I was pastoring in North Carolina, I attended a large Baptist meeting in Charlotte, the city where my parents were raised and the city where my grandparents still lived at the time. I left the meeting about 9 or 9:30 p.m. so I could go by my grandparents' house and visit them for a few minutes before making the hour and a half drive back to our home in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. But I was unfamiliar with this area of Charlotte downtown at which the meeting was held. And this was before I had a GPS or a maps app on my phone. So I got out an old paper map and I tried to figure out where I was and how I could get to their home. And I got mixed up and turned around and I ended up lost in the darkness somewhere in the vicinity of downtown Charlotte. It was dark, hard to tell which way was which. I didn't know if I was driving in the right direction or the totally wrong direction. I rode around aimlessly and anxiously amid the disorienting darkness for several minutes, and I remember I saw one road and I followed it some ways, and up ahead on the left-hand side I saw a church. As I drew closer, I recognized it as the church my mom grew up in, the church where my grandparents had been members for over 60 years and were still members. I was thrilled to see it shining in the floodlights on that dark road because, you see, that church is on the road that leads right toward their house, and I knew that since I had come upon that church, it would be easy to find my way from there. I thought to myself, if not for that church, I might not know the way. And then it hit me all at once. If not for that church, I might not know the way. I might not know Christ, my Savior. I might be living without God in this world. That church is where my grandfather, who prayed every night before bed, served as a deacon and a middle school boys Sunday school teacher for years. It's where my mom learned about the gospel as a little girl. It's where she was baptized. It's where she learned by heart scriptures including John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Scriptures including Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Scriptures that she later would teach me when I was a little boy. I was welling up with gratitude and I thought about another church across town where my other grandparents had been members and where my dad had worshiped as a youngster. That's where my paternal grandfather served as an elder and sang in the choir, and my paternal grandmother was involved enthusiastically in all kinds of activities. It's where my dad knew Christ and worshiped God as he was being brought up. Tears began to form in my eyes as I drove down that dark road, and a flood of revelation came over me as I started thinking about all that those churches mean to my grandparents, to my parents, and to me. And I remember I began to thank God for everyone who had served those churches and kept them going over the years. I thank God for the deacons, the elders, the ushers, the VBS volunteers, the youth mission trip chaperones, the ministers on staff. I thank God for all the people who supported those churches financially over the years, for all the people who populated the pews Sunday after Sunday, for the children that laughed in their hallways, the seniors who shared their wisdom there, the parents who raised their teenagers there. That night, as I saw that church shining in the floodlights, I saw God's church in a whole new light. I saw it as the light of Christ shining in the darkness for generations to come. My hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is that this Legacy Fellowship Initiative and our efforts to tell our children and students about the goodness of God and all of our efforts to worship and serve Christ here at Second Baptist Church might lead to a night years from now when one of the children in our church today has grown up and she's had a child of her own who has in turn grown up into a 30-something, and she's driving down River Road one night around 9:30 or 10 o'clock and she sees Second Baptist Church shining in the lights. And she pulls over and pauses for a moment and thinks to herself, thank God for that church. Without that church, I might not know the way. Amen.